Welcome to Your Dog's Best Friend. I'm Tracy Hotchner, and I'm excited to be here with my co-host, Sarah Hodgson, who knows you want to be your dog's best friend. She's a people trainer for dogs who can help you and your dog communicate better. When dogs talk, Sarah listens. We'd like to thank our sponsors for supporting this show and want you to know we've invited these companies to be here. To get a free sample box of freeze-dried protein treats for dogs and cats from Whole Life Pet, send me your mailing address to radiopetlady@gmail.com. There's a whole week's worth of wonderful live pet shows I co-host on our own Radio Pet Lady Network, so please check out the schedule at radiopetlady.com. This show is a production of 8paws LLC and When Dogs Talk, which are solely responsible for its content. Call us with any questions you have about your dog's behavior or training. Our number is 888-429-5471. Give us a call. That's 888-429-5471. Hello, Miss Sarah from When Dogs Talk. Are you staying cool, honey, or are you kind of like pretty hot and cranky and panting like I am and my dogs are?
I would say I'm hot and mellow. We're a very mellow clan. So we only have one air-conditioned room, and the rest of us just slob around in our suits.
Really? Yeah. You don't have air conditioner in your bedroom?
Yeah, well, it's kind of in the bedroom office zone. And so sometimes when it's really hot, the dogs sleep in our bedrooms and the cats, so that's an extra five. But sometimes the kids pile in too. We just got a king-size bed today so we can fit everybody.
You clearly need it. Congratulations on your new bed. Nowadays, that's a major investment, getting a bed. It used to be, you know, you got a bed, it was no big deal. Now it's like, okay, you take out a mortgage or a second mortgage and a loan
or you go on Craigslist. And you go on Craigslist,
clever
$250.
Woman.
I made a friend. We met a wonderful dog and a Norwegian forest cat that was given up at the shelter. Had a
that
great afternoon.
That is adorable. That's so
wonderful.
Cute.
Good.
Did you tell them that they could get Whole Life Pet treats? I hope you got their mailing address. Seriously.
They're so wonderful. She has a trailer, so they're delivering the bed to us. She's
my new BFF. So darling. When she comes, get her mailing address, because the Norwegian forest cat will also love the protein treats from Whole Life Pet.
Okay.
Well, before we talk about heat, which I really – it's a pet fanaticism of mine, the idea that people jog with their pets in this weather, the idea that people don't understand how much the heat affects the dogs and just leave them be. But first I want to talk about your blog this week. You really are a fantastic blogger. You don't just – write what you know. You then do all that investigative journalism stuff and get quotes from people and do all the background facts. Really seriously, genuinely impressive. If anybody hasn't read Sarah's blogs, they're on Huffington Post, HuffPost. Is there one day of the week that it runs usually, Sarah?
They're also on my website. It's much easier to find them there.
All right.
When Dogs Talk, and right on the homepage, you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see Huffington Post and you can find them all. I generally write one or two a week, and there's no real rhyme or reason to when I put them up. My next one is on Is Your Dog Trainer a Bully? But this week I wrote about leaving, you know, considering your pet in your will.
Which is a super, super topic. Nobody thinks about it. I mean, even Leona Helmsley, the most famous money left to a dog, did not consult with a good trust and will lawyer. Because the way she left the money to that little poodle or Maltese or whatever he was, the courts invalidated it. So talk about some of the things you learned.
He only got $2 million instead of $12
million. That's right. So it's kind of like a ripoff, although really how much shopping can a small Maltese do? One wonders. How big a wardrobe does a Maltese need? But for real, people that have children, we hope, do estate planning if, God forbid, the husband and wife are traveling together somewhere without the children.
Right.
Those kids could be left as orphans or, God forbid, any of it. It's just all so horrible to imagine. But people with kids will face this. Now, if anything happened to one of us or two of us, if we were a couple, we have to make provision for what happens to our animals. Don't imagine your family members are going to welcome them with open arms. I mean, look at Sarah. Four nutty dogs. I mean, they're divine. But
they are divine. But
they're divine.
Like, who's gonna come in? When we just had Whoopsie, when our kids were very young, we had a line out the door of people that would house it, that would stay with her, that would take her if we passed away. But the thing is that dogs are still considered property. So you can't just ordain somebody and then, you know, 5 years later, maybe they've moved out of town or their situation has changed. They can't take your dogs. The state considers them property, will literally drive them to a shelter. So I had a wonderful time speaking to people about this, you know, in the profession.
And then the problem, Sarah, is let's say you found that person who you've asked and you've looked them deep in the eye and said, will you take my dogs? And you've discussed with them, you know, what your dog's needs are in terms of exercise, affection, time, medical stuff. And you say whether they're rich or poor, but if they're just average like the rest of us, you got to leave them some money. And doing that is not easy either. How is the money given? Is it a lump sum? What if you got a 10-year-old dog? The dog dies a year later. Did you in your heart's mind want your friend to get the $10,000 or $5,000? What if the dog is two and could live to 16? Is $10,000 enough when you consider vet bills, pet insurance, food, et cetera, babysitters, dog trainers? So what were some of the things you came up with that you would say, like, to a girlfriend over lunch who hasn't considered what would happen to her dogs or even her cats if she dies?
Well, the interesting thing is the first thing you need to set up is a pet trust. Mm-hmm. So I'd never really heard the term. I'd heard of a trust for my children, but neither my husband or I are in a financial position to leave our children a trust. So I hadn't thought about it, but a trust for a dog is, as you said, a sum of money that you project out will cover your pet's expenses over the long term. Now, you can leave your pet trust to, let's say, your sister or a very close friend, while leaving your pet to someone else who can then communicate and get money as they need it.
But that's a good way to ruin some relationships. I'm already feeling the pain of that one. What do you mean the dog needs X? What do you mean you have to go to a pet boarding resort? What do you mean you want to have a $4,000 stem cell surgery? Right? I mean, that's kind of not the great solution.
Well, I mean, or you could just leave the trust to the person taking the dog. But as you said, what if the dog dies in 6 months? Or what if the person, you know, isn't as close a friend as you thought, keeps the money, drops the dog off at the animal shelter? You know, there are all sorts of horrible scenarios. The best plan of action is to take good care of your health and not die. But, you know, what are you going to do?
That is a great solution. Don't leave the house because most accidents happen inside the house. Go live in your yard in a tent. Do not drive or be driven or be on a road.
Airplane.
Probably a falling meteor will take you out.
Definitely,
you know,
don't have children.
Do not have children because that just complicates it terribly. It seriously is a problem because you leave a horrible burden to the people that you leave behind. If you have that really kind of, let's be honest, some of us have dogs that are unpleasant. They're difficult. Maybe they don't like strangers. Maybe they yap a lot. Maybe they have, I don't know what issues. And, you know, just leaving that as like all your clothes in the closet, because in the end, legally, as you say, they're just property. That's no solution. I mean, people's own relatives are extremely capable of taking a dog or a cat to the shelter, right? I mean, sorry to say, but you can't trust a relative unless they want to.
I've worked with a lot of dogs that have come from the parents or, you know, older people. I'm going to be one of these 80-year-olds going out and getting a dachshund and naming it John Henry. And it's my goal. I want a dachshund.
I want
to name it John Henry. But anyhow, my little John Henry might outlive me, and John Henry might get along great with me, who I'm retired and I have gobs of time for attention and walks, but he may go to one of my kids who might be, you know, raising collies, and he might not like the collies,
might be in a rock band. They're in a rock band, right? And they're living out of the back of the station wagon that you bought them when they were in college, which they dropped out of.
It's a hard transition for a dog and a person. Dogs take up a, a lot of emotional real estate, you know,
yep.
a lot of
yep.
physical real estate, but emotional real estate too.
And also financial real estate. I mean, more all the time. The better care you take of your dog, wellness checks. Just today, I went and got Lyme vaccinations for all three dogs. That was in addition to the Lyme test that they had 2 months ago. I mean, and this is just like nothing. That $150 was like a drop in the bucket. So
I want
you add
to come
all
to
that
Vermont for pet care.
Yeah, my pet care is much cheaper than someone in Manhattan or Beverly Hills.
Exactly.
Speaking of which, if you're in Manhattan or Beverly Hills and listening to your dog's best friend, we would love to know, have you made any plans? Do you hate the idea? Or are you one of those people who's been proactive and made plans? Give us a call, 888-429-5471. Sarah, you quoted somebody in your blog who was someone I had interviewed on Dog Talk, and he wrote a book which I think is extremely valuable. You get it, you think, oh, this is really complicated. It's called Fat Cats and Lucky Dogs. And he's a trust and will lawyer and specializes in pets. And you found him useful, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I really had no idea. You know, my husband kind of sprung this whole let's create a will together on me the other night. And you know, I was not so concerned about the kids because we have family. And
yeah. And
you know,
they're cute. The kids are cute. People will want them.
They're cute, and divide it in half. They'll be have plenty of money to
yep.
launch them. But the pets are, you know, the pets got me all teary and bleary-eyed. So I called up Barry, and I love his book. And his book is great, and it has so many anecdotes and so much humor.
Yes.
And I just got some insight as to what a pet trust is. And what I learned there are different trusts. There's a living trust or a testamentary trust.
And what about differences from state to state, or is it pretty uniform?
I think it's pretty uniform. But
well, what I'd love to do, I would love to take a break because we have Kim calling from the ASPCA. I'd like to take her right after the break. You also quoted her. She's a specialist in this, and you quoted her in your article. It'd be great to get some of her thoughts on, you know, like what are the top four things people really need to face now, not, you know, from the grave, think back. If only I'd been listening to your dog's best friend. The number to call if you have any questions, we're going to have Kim from the ASPCA, a specialist in trusts and wills, in just a moment. Give us a call, 888-429-5471. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. This show is brought to you by Woruva, a privately owned company that makes pet food in a human food facility, so it's good enough for you to eat. All the flavors of Woruva, Cats in the Kitchen, and their more economical BFF, Best Feline Friend brands, are great for finicky little dogs and choosy cats, especially those you're trying to transition away from dry foods. Woruva chooses not to make any dry food because carbohydrates are inappropriate for an obligate carnivore, and they believe your pussycat deserves to eat as well as you do. This show is supported by the Pheromone products Feel Away for cats and Adaptil for dogs. Pheromones are chemical communicators that are a natural signal of comfort in your pet's brain. Adaptil can help with problems like separation anxiety in dogs, and Feel Away diffusers can reduce problems in a multi-cat household. Veterinary behaviorists often recommend Feel Away and Adaptil as stress relievers to solve behavior problems. Pheromones can help adopted cats and dogs make the adjustment to their new home and comfort young puppies and kittens who have just left their litters. Look for Feel Away and Adaptil at RadioPetLady.com, where you can buy them from Dr. Sean's online store, PetCareNaturally.com. This show is also brought to you by Nordic Naturals for people and their pets. Research shows that even the best diets are deficient in the essential fatty acids found in their omega-3 oils. Nordic Naturals uses sustainably sourced wild fish from healthy stocks with third-party testing to guarantee purity and freshness. Nordic Naturals Omega Pet products bring the same health benefits to the cats and dogs in your family when you add Nordic Naturals omega-3 fish oil to their bowls every day. And before we carry on with our will and trust conversation, today is the day that the Nordic Naturals Rescue Pet Photo Contest starts. It's on my Facebook page. It's on NordicNaturals.com as well, the more logical place to find it. And you just upload a picture of your rescue pet, and then in about 2 weeks, there's going to be finalists and voting. And for every vote, a dollar, up to $5,000, goes to Paws for Veterans, this amazing group, which they place psychiatric service dogs with wounded veterans, psychiatric issues like post-traumatic stress syndrome, but all the dogs come out of shelters and they're picked specifically for each veteran. So the Nordic Naturals Rescue Pet Photo Contest starts today. Upload, ooh, upload, upload. It's very
I've
cool.
I've got four.
You have four rescue pets. I have three. So there you have seven already. So that's pretty good.
Now,
right?
Is that Nordic with a D or a T?
With a D. There are one of our sponsors, Nordic. Nordic Naturals. It's omega-3 pet fish oil, as you heard in the commercial.
I want some for myself.
Well, you're going to get some as my co-host. You're going to get like some delicious Nordic Naturals omega-3 oil and some for your pets as well, which, note to self, co-hosts need Nordic, yes. Okay, I've made that note to myself. There are so many bits and pieces of running a radio network empire, aren't there?
There are.
We have Kim from the ASPCA. Everyone knows what the ASPCA is. It's just the most wonderful organization in the world, the oldest humane society in the United States, and does nothing but good, marvelous things for animal welfare. And Kim, thank you so much for participating in the show tonight, but also for giving Sarah that good advice you gave her about wills and trusts. It was really great to see that the ASPCA was lending your expertise to Sarah and the Huffington Post and all the people with their dogs and cats. Do you yourself have a dog or a cat?
Yes, actually, I have a little mixed breed, a Maltese poo named Diva. Ooh. She just turned 10 in April, and of course, she is the center of our life. She rules the roost. Whose pet does it, you know?
Nice.
And I think that goes without saying. But a life without pet, a pet, I don't know. I really can't conceive of it because I've grown up with pets all my life. Well, dogs principally. And actually, I'm a frustrated veterinarian. I'm just lucky to have happened at the ASPCA. I have a law degree, but now I'm able to have the best of both worlds.
She just happens to, she happens to have a law degree, but in her next life, she's going to be a veterinarian. Kim, do you?
Absolutely. Or an animal behaviorist, one or the other.
Well, you see, and Sarah could train you. She's very good at training people to train dogs and cats and understand them. Here's a question for you. Do you have the trust or will for your little guy that you would recommend to other people? Are you someone who does what she recommends or do what you say,
absolutely. Absolutely. I actually don't have an arrangement which was set up in a will or in a trust. What I have chosen to do is purchase what we call a pet protection agreement, and this is a sort of a novel idea created by a pet law attorney, Rachel Hirschfeld. It's actually her copyright, and basically it's a contractual arrangement that is now valid in all 50 states. It's portable, and the best thing is that it's affordable, and basically what it does is allow you to spell out in one document, in one place, the person or persons, I should say, that you have named as a caregiver, the persons that you have named as we call them trust protector, but a person who's basically going to oversee the money that you may, in fact, leave for the care of your pet. And it's not a mandatory thing that a person leave money. It's just a suggestion. It also spells out or gives you an opportunity to list all of the personal characteristics that a person knows about their pet, right from eating habits right on down to medical needs, where the vet, the vet that you use, the dog walker that you use, the cat sitter that you use, blah, blah, blah.
Name of the woman
it also gives
that?
You an opportunity to dispose of any funds. You can make a determination. You can state where any funds that you may have left over, where they should go, what entity. And so it's a really complete document. But what I like about it is that it is a standalone document. It has nothing at all really to do with a will or trust. Very often, what we don't want to do is complicate one's estate planning situation. In other words, a person may set up a will and a trust for the benefit of their children, but then they have, pets on the side, one or more pets that come and go. As you know, the life of a pet
That's
is
right.
much shorter than an individual, so you may have pets that come and go, and so this pet protection agreement, which ranges in price anywhere from $39 up to $59 to execute is a very doable instrument. What I've elected to do, what I call the pet protection agreement, which is found on the LegalZoom site.
LegalZoom,
people need to do something, and I think when I saw Sarah's article, and actually when we exchanged emails, I always am happy to share information about this because 2 out of 3 families in America have 1 or more pets, so it's a really big thing. I mean, people don't think about it, I think, because they just, you don't think of pets as property, and I think that's the kind of funny thing here, the funny twist to the scenario. You think of pets as family, but unfortunately, a lot of trust and estate attorneys don't even bring up the subject. Now, attorneys who, of course, have family, have pets at home, tend to be a little more sympathetic about it and tend to ask the question because they have pets at home. But for those attorneys, those practitioners who are not animal people, they don't even think about it. I remember when I first started in this field, I would ask them when they talk about the checklist, you know, they talk about this checklist that they use to go down and they ask you about your property and this and that. And I raised my hand once in a seminar. I said, well, do you ever ask about pets? Well, you would have thought that I was, you know, somebody from Mars. And so I think people need to raise the issue with their attorneys. If the attorney doesn't raise the issue, the pet parent needs to raise the issue with their legal advisor and say, hey, look, you know, we need to discuss what's going to happen. What can I do for the care of my pets if something were to happen to me? And not just in case of death, but in case of some other debilitating or situation of incapacity.
Kim, one of the things about this, you've said so many interesting things, but you've said so many in a row, we have to slow you down so we can interrupt a little bit and ask some questions. LegalZoom, like Z-O-O-M?
Yes.
Is that the name of the website?
It's the site, yes, where you Good. Can find the pet protection agreement. Absolutely.
So therefore, you pay the money, I guess, depending on whether it's a more simple or complex form, because this lawyer, Rachel, copyrighted it, you download it, you print it, and then you make some copies so you don't mess up the one copy you just paid for, I guess, and you fill in all
the
blanks because
the person you've selected as the caregiver is going to sign on basically to accept the role as caregiver. So it really does, it's important because it forces the issue. Even though you've identified a caregiver, it kind of makes them say, yeah, you know what, they're going to step up to the plate and sign it and say, yes, I'm going to obligate myself to do this, blah, blah, blah. And I think it has a little bit more weight, and I think it's a little bit more important from a moral standpoint.
Well, not just from a moral standpoint, but also you said it was inexpensive, and you're right. If you go to your own lawyer, first of all, most of the people I know, even into their 60s, don't actually have wills or very well-done wills, and they've maybe done one with an all-purpose lawyer, which, as you know, being a specialist in trusts and wills, I mean, it's a specialty. So they haven't even gone to the kind of lawyer who will make a trust or will for them and their children, which is airtight. And if you bring up pets, which I've done with those kind of lawyers, and now tick, 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 the clock is ticking. They're $250 an hour or more, depending on where you are. They don't really know, as you said, all the ups and downs of the pet part. So you're spending money with a lawyer who doesn't really even know all the ups and downs. I think that this pet protection form makes a lot more sense. What do you think, Sarah?
I love it. I'm going to go into my article, or maybe, Kim, you could go in and mention it in greater detail. It's Rachel Hirschberg, name?
Hirschfeld, and yes, it's Hirschfeld. And certainly, yeah, I'll be happy to go back on. It's a blog, right?
Yeah, the Huffington. You can get there through my site. You'll see Huffington. It's the top one. And just comment below. And people always read the comments. So that'll be very helpful.
Very good.
Kim, this has been absolutely fantastic. This is advice and information that people cannot get any other way. And this is something I've really paid a lot of attention to, and the advice you're giving is unique and really superb, and I think something that everybody should just, you know, face the unpleasant possibility mentally and just do it, because then you have peace of mind, you know? I think it's terrific advice, Kim, and thank you so much for
great
all the great work.
Too. You know, you could be in a fender bender and just bump your head and be for 24 hours.
You
need somebody to step in.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
We need to go to a break, but Kim, we love that you called in. Really tremendously helpful. We're very grateful, and so are all the pet owners and lovers. And I may tap you on the shoulder and see if you'll join me on Dog Talk on NPR, because people with money need to know this even more than people without money, because it's all so complicated. And, you know, you can't leave $10,000 to your pet. It's just not as easy as it seems. So you have a great, great evening. We're really glad to have you as a friend of your dog's best friend, and we will be in touch with you. Have
thank
a great
you so
evening.
Much. Thanks for having us, and thanks for bringing up this really, really important subject.
Take care. All right, we're going to a break. Support for this show comes from VaxiCheck. Are you worried about the harmful side effects of over-vaccinating your dog? But is your vet worried whether your dog still has protection from previous vaccinations? VaxiCheck is a new blood titer test done right in your vet's office that shows whether your dog has immunity to the deadly core diseases and needs revaccination or not. VaxiCheck should be used on puppies to confirm whether their puppy shots really worked. Shelters should use VaxiCheck on new arrivals to separate healthy dogs from unprotected ones. VaxiCheck, for your dog's safety and your peace of mind. And VaxiCheck for cats is coming soon. This show is brought to you by Halo Holistic Natural Dog and Cat Foods, which are made from real ingredients you can recognize. Read the ingredients on the label of your own dry dog food. Can you identify what's in there? Halo uses real meat in their kibble, no rendered byproducts, chicken meal, or chemicals. The company emphasizes giving back by making donations to shelters through freekibble.com, because Halo believes less fortunate felines and canines deserve great nutrition, too. Halo is a private company, partly owned by Ellen DeGeneres, where they are genuinely dedicated to keeping your pet happy and healthy, inside and out. Precious Cat Litter is privately owned by Dr. Elsie, a feline-only veterinarian whose litters are designed to appeal to kitties and protect their health. His renowned Catatrack litter has a blend of herbs which entice cats into the litter box. Respiratory Relief Litter is low dust for pussycats with asthma, which makes it healthy for people and other pets in the family, too. And there are special litters for long-haired and senior cats as well. Precious Cat donates litter to shelters and rescues across the country. We are back. You're listening to Your Dog's Best Friend, which is what Sarah Hodgson is, your dog's best friend. You got to check out When Dogs Talk, her chock full of good stuff website. Sarah, let's go back to my pet peeve, please, about the weather and the heat and the fact that people who might get in or out of an air-conditioned car or house or supermarket or mall or wherever they are don't seem to have any understanding of not only the heat on the sidewalk or on the asphalt for a dog, but the absolutely deadly heat inside their car. So let's first talk about people who want to jog with their dogs. Now, you live, I guess Westchester is sort of suburbia. I don't know, is that called suburbia? There's lots of people around, lots of people with dogs, lots of people jogging and biking. In this weather, which at the moment, let's call the weather high 80s, do you see people jogging with their dogs?
Oh, yeah. Not, you know, of course not as many, but the dog's tongue swells.
Yes.
They have slack jaw. I had one client call. I love this client. He's a detective, and his father is from Ireland, has a wonderful accent. And they have three dogs that collectively don't weigh more than 10 pounds.
No.
They're the most adorable, delicious Yorkies. So they're two little girls, Molly and Maggie, and they're about 2 years old.
And good Irish names, right?
Good Irish names. And then there's Duke, who's about seven. And he needs some orthodontia. His jaw is a little, his tongue is a little too large for his mouth.
Aww.
So they called the other day because they said they didn't think he was feeling well. He wasn't eating. He wasn't moving. That day it was about 100 degrees. And I had worked with them in a session about taking the dogs out for a walk because they were kept inside a lot and they were a little stir crazy. And so I asked if they had taken Dookie on their walk. They said, oh, we took him on two walks. I said, well, the caveat to the walking is you can't take him out when it's above 80 degrees because his tongue will swell and he can't breathe well. And they said, oh, that was exactly right. He was having trouble breathing. And I'm like, and when your tongue's swollen, you can't breathe, the last thing you really feel like doing is chowing down. So that kind of led to that. And whereas the little girls love to walk, I do recommend that people walk their dogs before 9 or 10 in the morning and after 6 or 7 at night. It's simply too hot on these sweltering days to take them out. As you said, the macadam gets painfully hot. They find it very unpleasant to have to motivate. They wouldn't choose to do it on their own.
Also that you use the word walk, not jog. If people choose to run in whatever weather, we're free Americans. We can do what we want when we want. We can make choices. If we put a leash and a collar on a four-year-old child and made her run barefoot beside us on the asphalt, they would be taken away by Child Protective Services, one would hope. That's what I want to do when I see people running a dog, jogging. These dogs are not even built to jog in any weather. Dogs are not long-distance runners, any of them. It's not what they're bred to do.
They're not linear movers.
That's right. And it really strains their entire, every organ in their body. Somebody, by the way, put a very cool chart on my Facebook page. I cannot recommend this enough to you guys. It shows an egg frying on the asphalt. She has a great pet sitting business in Scottsdale, Arizona. She is just a wonderful girl, knowledgeable, cares, always educating her clients. And it shows that if the air temperature is 77, the asphalt is 125 degrees. Now, if you've ever watched people play tennis in tennis matches in Indian Wells, in Palm Springs, in these hot places, they'll show heat rising off of the tennis court at 130 and 40 degrees. Well, those people are being paid an awful lot of money, and they got on some really insulated shoes, and they're still going to get bleeding blisters on the bottom of their feet. The dog's paw pads are extremely tender. They may look rough and callous to us, but they're actually quite tender. It's the only place they can breathe. They don't have any pores to sweat. I hope everyone realizes this. The only heat exchange is their paws and their tongue. And neither is very effective. So we can pour with sweat to be cooled off. They can't do that. On the same chart that she had, it said that when that ground is 125 degrees, Sarah, skin destruction begins in 60 seconds. If you want to walk your dog on any kind of pavement, here's what you have to do. You press firmly the back of your hand on the asphalt and count to 7 seconds. If that's comfortable for you, it's comfortable for your dog. If it isn't, that's what it feels like to them. Sarah, when you were raising your babies, everyone knows, you know, you drop the milk on the inside of your wrist, right, to make sure it's not too hot. We should be doing the back of the hand, same thing, on the ground. And if not, you have to walk them on some kind of earth or grass. And like Sarah said, at the coolest hours of the day, even much later than 6, even maybe later than 8. So the heat
dirt
of the day.
Road and shade.
Okay,
dirt
now
road and shade.
Yeah, and now how about talk a little bit about the people that put their dog in the car and they say, I opened the window a little. And then they drive them somewhere.
I can't even fathom that.
Well, and yet it happens every day. Dogs die every single day, or they're in hyperthermia, which is a medical emergency. Their brain swells, first their tongue, then their brain. Imagine the torture to burn to death. You folks cannot put your dogs in the car when it's more than 68 degrees outside. And even then, you cannot park the car.
Even then. What is the point? Why are you driving the dog around in the heat?
If you're driving them to
be 60 degrees, but you could be in direct sunlight and it boils. You have to think of the car as an oven.
That's right.
The dog really does wants to go with you on an adventure, but stresses when trapped inside. It's like being trapped inside a solitary confinement.
And then it's hot.
You're just baking them like a cookie. And it's unfathomable to me. I've had two clients that lost their dogs.
Oh.
Wonderful people, little children. I honestly, Tracy, I worry every single summer. My kids jump in and out of the car. They forgot their Lego. They want
Yes.
their shoes. They open the car. I have four dogs that trail behind them like a posse.
That's
And,
right.
you know, they open the car. My little Boozle or Hootenanny or Balder or Whoopsie, they jump in because they think they're going for a ride.
Yep.
And my kids turn around and just close the door. You know, it's negligence and sometimes it's an accident. But the bottom line is the dogs cannot open the car door themselves. And you have to be mindful in the summer. If you have children, as I do, you got to leave the window open so the dogs can at least jump out.
That's an interesting point. Although some of them wouldn't physically be able to. Those little Yorkies couldn't. And my dogs with, you know, ACL repairs and severe arthritis, they will just bake like in the oven, even if the window were all the way down. And one of my dogs lives to go in the car. Now, like you said, when they're in the air-conditioned room, they're kind of happy and enjoying themselves. They don't stop and think, it's cool in here because the nice lady has the air conditioning on. Outside, it's like hell on wheels. So they're like, great, the car. They don't think, but gosh, the car is like boiling hot and inside is so nice. So he tries to hitch a ride. And one day it was overcast and raining and it was 68 and there was no sun and I took him and it was literally the drive-thru. I mean, I didn't get out of the car. I totally do not believe that you should ever take a dog in the car past the springtime or before the fall with the intention of I'll just go in for 5 minutes because even getting a Starbucks takes a lot more than 5 minutes.
Right.
But, you know, I went through the CVS drive-thru and got my prescription and drove home. The entire trip, each leg of it was about 5 minutes. And when we get home, we have a very, very long driveway. So I always open the door and let him run home or trot home, wherever he was from there. He would bit in the car with me with the air conditioning on. And his tongue was really red, not swollen or anything, but he was panting hard. That was from being in the car for 10 minutes with me in the car with the air conditioning on, no sun, 68 degrees.
Right.
I mean, imagine... You know, someone once made a great analogy. If you think your dog would be comfortable in that car, and by the way, in case someone didn't know this, it's either we or the sun who move, but if you park in the shade under a tree, it doesn't stay shady forever because,
right.
you know, that sun does move around. They said, if you think that's comfortable, you crack the windows 1 inch, sit in a parked car wearing shearling mittens, a woolen hat, and a faux fur coat. You see how that feels. You try that for 5 minutes. Sometimes you just have to, like, put yourself in the dog's fur and say, oh, my God, that is just horrible. I think saying baking like cookies is really true. Tell the story about the two clients in the heat.
Well, and, you know, as you're talking, what breaks, it's a topic that is just so dear to my heart because of these two situations and just the love of a dog that they would just follow you into a car
yes.
and accept whatever come
You're
up
right.
may, that they
You're
want
right.
to be with you so much that
yep.
they're willing to put themselves into an oven for you. It's just
yep.
people
yep.
don't think beyond themselves enough when they're with a dog. They don't really try to interpret how the dog might perceive things or how the dog might feel. So this one client had three kids. I had been a part of their family and their dogs for 15, 16 years.
Wow.
And it was a beautiful golden, and the dog went with them everywhere, you know, on all their adventures and their little leagues. And I had been there. The dog came before the children. They had
right.
three boys, and they would take the dog hiking on the weekends and the dog would run up and down. So the dog was now 12. She was 11 or 12 and they were going for a hike at, you know, Bear Mountain and a picnic and a swim in the river. And it was an extremely hot June day near the end of school. And the little boys looked up and pointed to her nose sticking out of the window. The parents had decided not to bring her. And the three little boys said it just wouldn't be the same if we didn't bring Maggie. So the parents, you know, being parents, acquiesced. The father spent a long time, you know, sitting with her while the boys hiked ahead, and it was a wonderful experience for the whole family to have her there, even though at the end she wasn't swimming in the river so much as she was just cooling herself off on her rock that she always sat by the river. So then they were bringing her home, and she usually had her head resting on the console, you know, when they were driving, but she climbed in the back with their middle son. And then they pulled into the driveway, you know, they pulled onto their street. One of the boys hopped out to play at a friend's house before they even got home. Their youngest son, who was just two, had fallen asleep, so the father picked him up. The oldest son, you know, the mom asked, bring the towels. The phone rang. It was her mom. She was coming over to help with dinner. She just bumped the front door with her, you know, with her hip, and finished her conversation, went in, hung up the towels, put things down, started dinner, looked to her husband, asked where Maggie was, and by that time she was already passed away. When he came out, her head was laying on the console.
And she'd burnt up to death. I mean, she'd
burned to death in the car.
She'd baked.
Wow. And I mean, she'll build a family. I can't ever forget it. It's such a hard topic for me because that dog literally followed that family everywhere. That was their first baby. I walked them through that. I walked them through bringing the kids home. I was with her when they brought the kids home. I had to go over because she was knocking them over on the bikes. I teach her not to do that. I got all the Christmas cards. I mean, they did not intend for that to happen. And it just...
And that's just the... And like you say, accidents happen. That's why they call them accidents. That is the saddest story. You know, what category that falls in is, you know, you wouldn't say to your kids you want to go out and play in the snowstorm without your snowsuit on. Oh, okay. I guess we just have to have, for ourselves and our other family members, very firm rules that from, I don't know, pick a date, the 10th of June, your dogs only go in the car if they're going to the veterinarian. Unless it's very early in the morning, you live in a beach community, you want to take your dog to the beach before 9 a.m. when it's legal. I mean, obviously, if the only reason you're in that car is to take that dog somewhere, be it the vet or a wonderful place that's good and cool and nice to walk. Otherwise, you know,
Leave
you have to sort of make a rigid rule for yourself. So when the kids say, oh, come on, Maggie, you'd love to go, you go, guys, come on. You know, we got a rule. Because every time I leave the house when it's that in-between time of weather, I debate. God, they'd love to come. It's like their big joy, especially Teddy Bear.
They follow you to the ends of the earth.
Yeah, and the joy of them to be with you, and they're so happy and they're so good in the car. But you know what? You think you're giving them that little extra measure of pleasure or something, and it's really better to have a hard and firm rule because, you know, you take them and it's – even if it's early in the morning and you're going to play tennis early and it's overcast, then the sun comes out. I myself have done that more than once and just left the tennis. I was like, you know what? This weather isn't what I thought it was, and I can't even concentrate on the ball. I got to go take that dog home because I was stupid enough to be suckered into bringing him, right?
Absolutely.
Well, it's a very sad story, but – the reason to tell it is that everyone knows that you're only one bad choice or one careless moment away from a tragedy that you never, ever recover from, because it's not like putting your old dog to sleep because she's not well. Your dog has, you know, baked to death. Your dog has suffered. It's not even like your dog freezing to death where you kind of pass out and you're kind of like comatose before you die of freezing to death, you know, burning up to death. It is not some peaceful passing. Not that you'd want the passing anyway. The dog was not at that point. Well, now that we've made you all utterly and thoroughly depressed, if you have any anecdotes or questions or concerns, call us. Cheer us up. 888-429-5471. We have a quick break to take, but wow, we're going to be thinking of something really cheerful to talk about when we come back in just a moment. This show is brought to you by Vectra 3D for Dogs, a safe and effective topical anti-tick and flea treatment that you put on your dog's skin once a month to repel parasites with the newest technology. Vectra 3D creates a shield on your dog's skin that repels ticks and kills them fast and reliably for the entire month, while being safe for the people in your family. Older products do not last the full 30 days and only kill ticks that bite your dog, which can actually transmit the many tick-borne diseases. Vectra for cats and dogs who live where there are no ticks is the anti-flea topical treatment that kills all three life cycles of the flea. Vectra is only available from practicing veterinarians. To learn more and find out how your own vet can get the Vectra products, go to RadioPetLady.com. Support for this show comes from The Honest Kitchen, a family-owned company that makes dehydrated pet foods from 100% human-grade ingredients. Lucy at The Honest Kitchen knows that the least processed foods are the most nutritious and developed her unique foods based on this principle. The Honest Kitchen's all-natural, clean, safe products can assist dogs and cats with chronic health issues like itchy skin, ear infections, and digestive problems, which are often linked to a diet of poor quality or highly processed ingredients. Just add water to the dry mix to create a fresh, warm, healthy meal for your cat or dog. Go to RadioPetLady.com to call The Honest Kitchen for a free consultation about which recipe is right for your pet and to get free samples. Okay, Sarah, now a cheery story, please. Let's talk about fun and good and upbeat and fun play things we can do with our dogs in the heat. I mean, of course, if you live near a pond or a river or a lake or a stream, I mean, that's great. So tell us a story.
Well, first of all, I do live near a lake, but our lake was overcome by geese who had Giardia.
So oh, my God.
Who swam at the lake got Giardia. Now, I didn't that week, and I'm grateful and thankful that I didn't. But you do want to bear in mind to check the water that you're going to, because these
That's a really good point.
You know, if they're geese, if they're salmonella, and, you know, you just don't know. So you really want to make sure the places you're taking your dog to swim don't have some outbreak of some god-awful thing.
That's a good point. Although if you have running water, you're probably better off like a stream or a river.
Right.
And you should definitely consider, which I get, or not me personally, the dogs, leptospirosis vaccinations, because leptospirosis is in
absolutely any
water that's out there. Any pee or poo from any wild animal can pass leptospirosis. So, hey, yep. We were going to talk about something cheery. Now we got them all terrified about going in the water.
Oh, my God.
Tell us a funny story.
Okay. So, you know, I have these four dogs, and the most challenging thing to do with multiples is have a training lesson, because I always involve food in my training lessons and treats. And when you are trying to focus on teaching the new dog something as simple as sit, you have all four of them lined
That's
up.
Right.
It takes a lot more time.
So a
lot more treats. So we stuff peanut butter in the Kongs. I don't crate my dogs much, but we try to divvy them up. So my daughter goes online the other day, and she finds America's Got Talent winner, you know, from England,
okay,
who was a freestyler. Did you know this? She
no.
won 39 freestyle.
Explain to people what freestyle is. People dance with their dogs to quite exotic music and wear costumes.
Oh.
Is that right? Is that it in a nutshell?
That's wonderful stuff. You should be a spokesperson for them. That's fabulous. And they involve all sorts of, well, they choreograph. I mean, the choreography in freestyle is phenomenal. It's funny to watch what these dogs do in an interchange with their owners. So lo and behold, my daughter, she's 9. She's divine. She's the love of my life. She's just a wonderful human being, decides she wants to go to Vegas
as
a dog freestyler.
I love
it. And she has choreographed a scene to the song Popular. Now, do you know this song, Popular?
No, of course not. I know nothing. I know the Sound of Music. I'm useless on anything that's like current.
Well, at one point, she's going to have Boozle stealing a pack of cigarettes, candy cigarettes, of course.
Right.
Of cigarettes from her back pocket, because she's going to be worrying about being popular, and she plays the cello. So she wants to
bring the cello to
Vegas. All four dogs, because the last scene is the dogs watching her playing cello, and the bullies who have teased her are going to be sitting with the dogs watching her play cello, because you have to be who you are no matter where.
Oh, Sarah, it's darling.
So now I'm going to create a video series on my YouTube channel called Training Boozle. Boozle's my little 10-pound dog, and it's going to involve all my motley crew. And the interesting thing, so this is what we do in this little tiny room we have air conditioned in my house, is we bring all four dogs in, and this is how you maintain cheer and positive attitudes in the heat. You get up at 5 o'clock, you take your dogs out for a walk while they're still little, you know, cooling in the air.
Yep.
And then you bring them into an air condition and you pick, a hobby for the summer. I wrote dog tricks and agility for dummies. While we can do agility inside in air conditioning, we certainly can't do a course.
No.
We can do a course in the early or the evening. We can take them out and go through jumps and tunnels and whatnot. But then try to pick. You might find some interest in teaching your dog to track certain scents, and you can scent different articles. You can play hide and seek around your house. But if you lob on to a hobby and get involved in it, and you're excited about it, and you involve your dog in it, you're going to have a wonderful summer. And they're going to look forward to that. Oh, it's after dinner. They put the dishes in the dishwasher. They're reaching into the treats. Let the tricks begin. my 10-and-a-half-year-old Whoopsie, her name is Whoopsie Daisy, sweetest dog on the planet. She gets so excited. She starts to bounce. She comes alive.
Oh. You know, I think it's a great idea. I've been saying since our show began how important tricks are, and that tricks are so undervalued by dog owners and dog trainers, and that is just one of the most wonderful ways to get your dog's attention, to get your dog to communicate with you and follow some instructions while having a really good time. And your book is so great because most of us don't really have the imagination. Like, I don't know, what trick could I teach? I'll roll over. We don't really have, like, a whole mind full of ideas of tricks. And the first Weimaraner that I ever rescued, Lulu, and I did a couple of different tricks with her that the trainer taught me, they were very simple, but it was really fun. And one of the ways that you can sort of reward the dog in the summer, besides the usual tricks, is this dog ice cream. Have you ever gotten any of that?
Oh, I was going to tell you. So every Saturday, we don't have a lot of ice cream in the house. I'd be a two-ton Tessie. But every Saturday, we treat the dogs to a box of Frosty Paws.
Oh, my God.
And we go out to our favorite ice cream shop. We take the dogs because we're going with them, and it's after hours. It's after
right.
dinner. We take their Frosty Paws because they really shouldn't eat dairy, and we all sit out at our local Noka Joe's in Katona, four dogs, two kids, two parents, four ice creams and four Frosty Paws. And
oh, Sarah, you paint such a Norman Rockwell picture. That is so cool. And do you take the Frosty Paws in like a little cooler so it doesn't melt? Till you get there?
Well, you have to. Our cooler with the red thing. I'll take a picture. I'll post it.
I think that's a great idea. We'll invite Frosty Paws to join us on the show because really there aren't that many fun things for a dog to do in the summer. So having their very own dog-centric ice cream, I think, is a super idea. And a lot of – you can find Frosty Paws in either sort of specialty pet stores, but some people even have them in their stupid markets. So – that's kind of swell. You pick
up
your...
We get them from our supermarket. We get them right from ShopRite.
Yeah, see? Very cool. Well, we've wound up tonight on a very happy Frosty Paws note, so we're happy that we're able to do that. We hope we haven't made you too depressed about dying and what will happen to your dogs and burning up on the pavement or in a car. But we just want you to have a safe and fun life with your dogs, and when you aren't here anymore, we want to make sure they still have a fun and safe life somewhere, somehow. Sarah, thank you so much again for a great show. Next week is July 4th, so we all have the night off. We hope you all have safety with the fireworks and a fun celebration of our independence. Have a great night, Sarah. Love to all your big family.
Thank you.